Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com as we conclude our study of Daniel chapter 8, where Gabriel concludes the Antiochus and Antichrist prophecy in Daniel chapter 8, verses 25 to 27. We've seen clearly that this prophecy has a dual fulfillment, both in the life of Antiochus, Epiphanes, and that of the coming Antichrist, as we look line upon line and phrase upon phrase at this prophecy and then compare it to what Antiochus did and what Antichrist is prophesied to be about to do, comparing Scripture with Scripture. If you have any questions, comments, or prayer requests, you can send those by email to bbbfohio@yahoo.com. Or you can send them by U.S. Postal to P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio 43085. Now we begin our study titled, Gabriel Concludes the Antiochus and Antichrist Prophecy, Daniel chapter 8, verses 25 through 27. This is part 1 of 2.
All right, let's get in the study. We have to be reminded, this world is nutty. And they take themselves so seriously. And they're crazy. It's nutty. So, getting into our study, Gabriel concludes the Antiochus and Antichrist prophecy. And this guy Antiochus and the Antichrist are just like that. They're nutty. You study them, and they're just nutty. We pick up with verse 25, building on what we saw in verse 24. Actually 23 and 24, but let's go ahead and read verse 25. And through, can you read it with me? Get everybody with their noses in their Bible. And I'll try not to cough through the whole study tonight. I've been doing really good up until. All right, everybody there? I mean, I still see some pages flipping. It's in the Old Testament. Oh, yeah, I'll take one. Thank you, dear. Thank you. Yeah, I'll try not to choke on it while I'm up here. All right, verse 25. Read with me. And through his policy also he shall cause craft to prosper in his hand, and he shall magnify himself in his heart, and by peace shall destroy many. He shall also stand up against the prince of princes, but he shall be broken without hand. So we've seen the following about Antiochus and discussed the same prophecies found elsewhere about Antichrist. You guys, what is the typo sets you guys off? Every time I have a typo, it's like, yeah, you want to see it? It's a trigger. Okay. Anyway, Antiochus Epiphanes, so far, this is what we've seen about him. He appears before the first coming of Christ. Now, as you think of that, you know the Antichrist is going to appear before his second coming. He appeared, that might seem obvious to those of you who have been studying the Word for a while, but that's not obvious to a lot of people. He appeared, Antiochus appeared while Israel was in a state of apostasy. Well, Israel's ready. When Jesus comes back the second time, Israel is in a state of apostasy. 80%+ don't even profess to believe in God. And most all of them, except for a tiny remnant, reject Jesus as their Messiah. He worked for global unity. We talked about that, Hellenization. The Antichrist obviously is going to try to bring about peace, world unity. Antiochus was narcissistic, to borrow from the psychobabble terminology, but it's just become culturally the word. We know what it means, speaking of Obama. And he was psychotically fearless. The Antichrist will be as well. His religion and philosophy was occult, and we talked about that at length. And of course, the Antichrist, we're going to see in another place where it says he worshiped the God of forces. That is metaphysical occultism, is what it is. Antiochus's coming had been foretold, and this is one text where we know that's true. And of course, the Antichrist's coming before this second coming of Christ is foretold numerous places, including this text. And we talked about how Antiochus dressed like the popes. And we teach that the final pope will be the Antichrist. So that's quite a coincidence right there. Now, and that was our first there. Second study, our previous study, Antiochus we saw was empowered by Satan. And the Antichrist will be as well, actually be possessed. He destroyed wonderfully. And we talked about how that word means it causes people to wonder. Not like it's, oh, that's wonderful. The Antichrist, we saw, will do the same. Antiochus' initial prosperity was before the chaos. So up until a certain point, Antiochus experienced a great prosperity, and he actually brought prosperity to those who would go along with his rule. Antichrist will do the same. Said he overcame the saints during the 70 weeks prophecy. Well, he came around, if I did my math right, is around the 42nd week of the 70 weeks. The Antichrist will come during the 70th week. But they will overcome the saints. And that's why we know it's not the church, because the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. But the gates of hell do prevail against Old Testament saints in the 70 weeks. And he attempts global unity and dominance, picking up where we left off in verse 25. And as we read, the first part of that verse says, "And through his policy also he shall cause craft to prosper in his hand." And there's commentaries and people out there teaching that just means he's going to have, that's a reference to his policies, and that he'll cause craft, meaning that business will boom. Well, that's true, but it's more than just that. In modern terms, this is like CIA, Vatican, Jesuit, Intel, and Illuminati, satanic craft. And if you don't already know that, that already is hand in hand today. The mass majority of people who are involved in the CIA, the Vatican, Jesuit, Secret Service, these people are very godless. And they're very much already into the occult. One of the shocking things, I know Roman Catholicism is a false church. They preach a false gospel. But in my first few years of study, I was amazed to find out how many of their priests were openly occultic. And I think one of the guys that was a big timer in the 80s was, and maybe early 90s, was a guy named Matthew Fox. And and we've been watching some documentary DVDs put out by a fellow named Steve Quayle. I always tell everybody, you can watch the stuff Steve Quayle puts out, just be discerning. I'm not sure he's sound doctrine biblically or at least on some of the things he talks about. But it's good research. And it's amazing when you watch those documentaries. If you're not already aware of it, you'll be shocked, surprised at how openly occultic, even in the upper levels all the way down to the priesthood, the guys that are priests of the local parishes, and how occult they are. Just throw out a couple of things about it. They have a telescope out in Arizona, and they call this thing the Lucifer Project. And they are looking for visitors from outer space. And what we know, the Bible says there's going to be an alien invasion, but it'll be devils. We studied that in Revelation 12. They are deceived and believe that there's going to be actual aliens. And that's because they're deceived, because they're so occultic. And when you get your eyes off of the Word of God, then you'll fall for that stuff. Well, we studied Antiochus Epiphanes, and he had his own version of the secret service that we have today, and the occult secret society policy and craft that we're going to see repeated. We're already seeing, and we'll see repeated when the Antichrist shows up. That word policy, in modern political terms, it'd be intelligence or intel. Now, I personally believe, for example, I personally believe that George W. Bush is an occultist. And when he said, who's your favorite philosopher? He says, Jesus. And everybody goes crazy because he says, Jesus. And I was one of them that thought, well, you know, I'll vote for him. Well, his policies resulted in us, all right, we were attacked by Osama bin Laden. In response, we go to Iraq. It was amazing to see how everybody just checked their brains out because they were so emotional about seeing the Twin Towers come down. There was no reason to go into Iraq as far as 9/11 is concerned. The reason they went into Iraq was to overthrow Saddam Hussein and set up a Federal Reserve banking system. And it's all a part of the global monetary system. When they finally did go into Afghanistan, it took years before they even tried to hunt down Osama bin Laden. Because when they went in there, they went in to protect the poppy plants so the CIA could continue their drug policy. The CIA has made billions of dollars selling drugs. And it's all known. It's not, I'm not telling you anything like some deep, dark secret. But the news media rarely mentions it, even though it's known. And George W. Bush, I believe, practices what the Jesuits and others practice. They'll say something, but they don't mean what you think they mean. So that's how they deceive you. There are people who will talk about Jesus, and you think, well, they must be a Christian. And ask them what they mean. Who are they talking about? It's not the same Jesus. They talk about the gospel. They don't mean the same thing you and I mean. They don't mean the same thing the Apostle Paul means. That's what occult is. The occult is the practice of basically having a second invisible world largely made up of language. Yes. And the Jesuits are taught that. We've known that for decades, that they're taught to practice saying something that will deceive you. And in their mind, they say black, but they're thinking white. And you think they mean black because they said black. And they are so warped in their heads that that's how. And that's why, you know, all this stuff about WMDs in Iraq and all that stuff, it doesn't matter whether it's true. They'll say whatever they need to say and mean whatever they want to mean. And you may think they mean this, but they mean something else. And that's how they play the game. And that's the kind of policy we're talking about here. Just as we've seen foreign intelligence used to push the globalist agenda under Bush, Clinton, Bush, and Obama, by the way, it's both political parties, Antichrist puts this tact into overdrive. I'm just telling you, if you respect your pastor's opinion, you will not get your news from ABC, NBC, or CBS, or CNN. And you'll be very careful with Fox News. But you'll take the information you can glean and prayerfully consider weeding out what you know not to be true. And a lot of the information you'll have to get through alternative sources. But we don't get a lot of news. What we get is propaganda. And if you want to know why All those guys on CNN, ABC, CBS, CNN, and a lot of the people who even show up on Fox News, Fox Business, the reason they don't like Donald Trump is because he's not part of their gang. No. And I get emails from people, and they put out YouTube videos all the time claiming things, but they don't ever have any proof. They claimed he was a Mason. Well, the Masons came out and said, nope, he's never been a Mason. There's still people on there saying, oh, well, they're keeping it a secret. And it's just hogwash. But now, they may get to him at some point. And when they do, if they do, we'll know it. And if they do, and we see that, I'll be the first to say, don't trust the man anymore. And right now, I'm not telling you to trust him. I'm telling you, support him as long as he's doing the right thing. But I think it is, whether it's him not winning the next election or something else happening, we just should thank God that we're getting a little reprieve, because the major players in both major political parties are Skull and Bones, Freemason, Opus Dei, you know, Bohemian Grove, CFR, Trilateral, you name it. They're all intertwined in all this globalist, one world, you know, stuff. And that's why the fact that Trump's even president is a shock to me. The other word we refer to there is craft. And it's not coincidental that the Masons, the witches, the Illuminists, etc., refer to their societies, most of them are secret societies, they refer to them as the craft. And you've seen this through the years in books and movies when they're talking about witchcraft, Wicca, and all these little groups, they call it the craft. That's just one of the movies they put out years ago that tried to make all like witches are wonderful. That's what they ought to call it. Witches are wonderful, because that's what they're trying to do. Propaganda. You never see them put out a movie about Christians, making Christians look good. But here's a book put out by a Mason titled Observing the Craft: The Pursuit of Excellence in Masonic Labor and Observance. It's important. I don't recommend you read the book, but pay careful attention to that title. It's both labor and observance. They marry the actual craft of masonry to the occult symbolism and observance of masonry. And that's why most Masons never laid a block in their life. But they can still take the symbolism and of the craft and make a... They don't like it to be called a religion, but that's really what it comes down to, is what it is. And some object, saying craft just refers to being cunning and skilled. And I say exactly. And it's being cunning and skilled in both the labor and observance. And it's right from their own website you'll find that. This is the MasonicDictionary.com. Their own words. In Anglo-Saxon, craft meant cunning, skill, power, dexterity, etc. The word became applied to trades and occupations, calling for trained skill on the part of those practicing it. And then it says, the distinction between such trades and those not requiring trained workmen, so rigidly maintained, was one of the hallmarks of the Middle Ages. Now listen, Freemasonry is called a craft, partly for historical reasons, the labor, partly because, unlike so many fraternities, it requires a training given in the form of initiation ceremonies, observance of those seeking membership. That's occult. That's craft. So the Antichrist policy will utilize the Jesuit Mason secret society intel, as well as the cunning and skill of occult craft, to accomplish world dominion. That's what Antiochus did, and that's what the Antichrist will do. Next thing it says there in verse 25, he shall magnify himself in his heart. Now, Antiochus called himself Epiphanes. This wasn't what other people labeled him, which means the visible God. I mean, just think about that, folks. As bad as Obama was, what would you think when he comes in one day and says, I've changed my name from Barry Sotero to Barack Hussein Epiphanes. And they'd say, well, why did you change your name to Epiphanes? Because I am the visible God. He might have lost the election. I don't know if people are quite that crazy yet. And keep in mind, when the Antichrist declares himself to be God, it'll be after they've taken the mark and they're reprobate. But that's what Antiochus called himself, and ditto the Antichrist. Magnified himself in his own heart. In 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 3, ends by saying, that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. The next verse says, who opposeth and exalteth himself, exalted himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped. So that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. The Epiphanes, the visible God. Ain't that something? So Daniel sums this up in a separate vision. We'll study in chapter 11. In Daniel 11:12, he says, and when he hath taken away the multitude, his heart shall be lifted up. That's directly not about Antiochus. That's about Antichrist. And he shall cast down many 10,000s, but he shall not be strengthened by it. And, of course, that's been true about most of the dictators that kill and kill and kill, and it never seems to get them where they want to be, so they keep killing.
A lot of people thought Hitler was...
That's always been the problem because there's, you know, Nero. A lot of seminaries still teach that Nero is the Antichrist. Then you have Constantine. You had Napoleon. I can't remember all of them off the top of my head. But there's but the problem has always been that all the pieces of the puzzle aren't there, and Israel's been the big one. It says in verse 25, then, by peace shall destroy many. Speaking of Hitler, Antiochus, like Hitler, Arafat, etc., made peace treaties, but used them to destroy. Did you notice that? It says, by peace shall destroy many. How do you destroy people by peace? Well, you make peace so they let their guard down. How many of you remember I don't think anybody here is old enough to have seen it live, but you remember studying it anyway, and you see Neville Chamberlain getting off the airplane with a piece of paper waving in the wind. Peace in our time. Yeah, that was right before World War II. Why? Because he had made a peace treaty with the devil, Hitler. And Hitler boasted about how stupid they were the 1940s progressives and liberals. That's how stupid they are. They're still that stupid. That's who was behind the Iran treaty. And now Iran is moving into Syria and Lebanon, and we're looking at war in Israel again. And in the meantime, they're doing to Netanyahu what they're trying to do to Trump, and they've got him up for indictment on corruption because he took some gifts, and they're claiming that it was bribery and all that sort of thing. Liberals are always like that. They're the same every time. They play the same handbook, and that's what they're doing in Israel right now. And you notice... in the 20th century, we went to war under what president? You remember World War I? Woodrow Wilson. You know what he was? Progressive. Which is a twin sister to liberal. But technically, liberals and progressive have some differences. But he was a progressive. We went to war after he told us we wouldn't. Fast forward. Who did we go to war under when World War II came around? FDR, who is a Democrat, liberal. But they're in the same bed, same group of people. And you say, well, we had to go to war. Well, yeah, by the time we went to war, I think we had to go to war. I don't know if we had any choice, but we only had to go to war because of Americans. You study the previous years to World War II, starting with Woodrow Wilson and the Versailles Treaty. The Versailles Treaty set the world up for another world war. And then came along people like Henry Ford. How many of you knew Henry Ford, every time he sold a car, he put a book in there about the Jews and how they were the problem. They were the problem. The whole world would be better off if we get rid of the Jews. He owned a Detroit newspaper, and he put these articles in his paper week after week, and then he got so many of them, he put them in a book, and every Ford that he sold had a copy of that book in the glove box, sowing the seeds of anti-Semitism in America. While he was doing that, he was lifting up the Hitler regime financially. Who else was doing it? IBM, probably the biggest corporation in America at the time. IBM was propping up Hitler. These guys, a bunch of them here in America, brought us to war. And then FDR just put the icing on the cake. And every time, they're the people who scream the loudest about peace. And it's all just a big warning about what, you know, when you see people crying, peace, peace, you're looking at, most of the time, you're looking at somebody who's going to get you into a war. Yeah, you're quoting my verse before ahead of time. This is from John Gill. I don't recommend him because he's a Calvinist. But I read some of their stuff because I can weed out all their nonsense. But he had this to say about this. He says, under a pretense of peace, they enter into countries and destroy the inhabitants of them. Did you get that? That's what Antiochus did. As in Egypt and Judea, that's what Antiochus did. Or by leagues and treaties of peace. And the Pope has his concordance. You ever heard of that? And outwitting those he made peace with. So some political princes do themselves more service and their enemies more harm or more hurt by treaties than by battles. Or in peace, when at peace with them, or while they are in peace and tranquility, coming upon them unexpectedly at an unawares when they did not so much as dream of war. And I just read that stuff and I pray, because that's where we are in America. Americans are just so oblivious to any threat. I mean, they think maybe that, you know, our military overseas might have to worry about it, but not here in America. Antichrist will be a man of peace. And this should remind us of the white horse rider in Revelation 6. Turn over there real quick. We studied this in our Revelation studies. Revelation chapter 6. If you missed any of our Revelation studies, they're all available online. I think we have a playlist right on bbfohio.com and I think on bbfohioradio.com. And by the way, that BBF Ohio Radio, that's our 24/7 internet radio. We were having dozens at a time.
For solid King James Bible preaching and teaching, along with the encouragement of the Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, tune in to our internet radio station available every day, 24 hours a day at bbfohioradio.com. Join listeners from over 150 nations, all 50 U.S. states, and other U.S. territories who are tuning in and receiving free Bible teaching at bbfohioradio.com.